You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Told her we loved her and we would pick her up after school. I can still see her walking with us toward the exit. In the reel that keeps scrolling across my memories, she turns her head and smiles back at us to acknowledge my promise. And then we left. I left my daughter at that school, and that decision will haunt me for the rest of my life. The district was asking all families who had not been reunited with their children to gather. Soon after, we received the news that our daughter was among the 19 students and two teachers that died as a result of gun violence.
That is heartbreaking to listen to, and that's part of the testimony given as they continue investigating what happened at the Uvalde School District shooting, the one at Robb Elementary. That is a mother of one of the children. That's Kimberly Rio, having a difficult time in her testimony explaining what was going on. It's going to be a big day for her girl. They'd planned on doing something special at your school, and then it came down to that. We're going to get into that in more detail because there's additional information that we didn't have time to get to yesterday as the hearing continued as to what police were doing, why they were doing it, what can be done, what should be done. And we also have this bipartisan compromise gun control law that has a lot of question marks about it. Some might be valid, some might need to be reworked, and some might just be another assault upon the Second Amendment. We're going to be joined by the Gun Owners of America Legal Counsel. And I'm glad to have him on board because I want to hear their view and their take on gun compromises. But at the same time, we need to understand the situation we're facing in the nation without infringing upon the Second Amendment rights that you have. That's critical. The inflation, of course, in our economy continues to be a big deal, obviously, as you well know. Fed Chair Jerome Powell testifying today and flat out called out that you guys acted way too late. You don't seem to have a handle on it. You don't know what you're doing. He's insisting we got everything under control. We're doing everything we can. A lot of it's upon the politicians, which points to the White House. And as you heard in the news opening up, Biden says, oh, we got plenty of oil. We just need to go get it. You won't let us go get it. And you threaten additional restrictions among the oil companies. And you threaten that, well, we're going to eventually abandon you anyway. Why are they going to make more investment if you're going to continue to push toward green pie-in-the-sky energy? We'll get into that. Hans von Spakovsky is going to join us. Of course, I want to get the latest on his view on when we're going to see the Dobbs case released by the court, why it's being held back so far. This is the one that could overturn the law of the land, Roe v. Wade. Does not mean abortions would not be available, but some states might make them totally illegal. Some might allow them with certain restrictions, but it would no longer be a federal right to get an abortion. Never has been, never should have been, actually, if you look at the Constitution. But he also has something else I want to share. He was evaluating what we're hearing about the January 6th committee and what we saw Hillary Clinton doing behind the scenes as she ran against Donald Trump. And he says, when you look at all of that stuff, especially what Hillary Clinton did, she makes Watergate looks like child's play. And also today, if you think the situation in our military could not get worse and that we're doing everything possible to make sure our young men and women are prepared for war, you're going to hear a training video that suggests, before we talk about how to shoot and kill an enemy and defend America, let's talk about defending the woke culture that is necessary. We are out of control in this military right now with these woke culturists running around and dictating what they want done in our military. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. We are live streaming right now on Rumble.com. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'll begin with one overarching message. At the Fed, we understand the hardship that high inflation is causing. We are strongly committed to bringing inflation back down, and we're moving expeditiously to do so. We have both the tools we need and the resolve it will take to restore price stability on behalf of American families and businesses.
That is the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell today addressing a Senate committee congressional committee as they're inquiring about what are you doing at the Fed. I mean, our inflation rate's out of control. It's going to get worse. And you suddenly the other day did a 0.75 rise. And we're still behind what you and your own papers have suggested would be appropriate. See, the official Fed papers and the plan they lay out says when numbers hit certain levels, here's what should happen. And where we are right now in our economy and the inflation rate, the Fed should be not at 1.5 or 1.75 or even 2% interest. It should go to 6%. That's a big jump. A big jump, and it may still come. Right now, we're not really getting anything that we can understand out of the Fed. What we're getting is, you know, we do this, we do that, we've got a handle on it, we'll work on it. You heard the Fed chairman say clearly that we are looking at doing so many things. But a lot of it, he admits, it's not in our control. It's again, a matter of politics. That's his way of saying, look to the White House. He didn't say that directly. But that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we have a situation where Joe Biden continues to insist The reason we don't have enough oil and so forth is our own U.S. oil companies. Does he think we don't pay attention to the facts? I mean, the facts? This program, while some of you are, I know, strong, hard conservatives, maybe more so than others. Some of you may have independent streaks, but mostly conservative. Some of you might be considerably independent, or even liberal to some extent, or liberalism anyway. And there might be some that are actually so far to the left that they're beyond Bernie Sanders that listen. All of that aside, we are Americans. And what is happening with our economy and this nation and how it's affecting us, and not only here, but the ripple effect across the rest of the world, is critical. If the U.S. is not strong, if we don't have the strong economy, if we don't have proof that we are the beacon for the rest of the world to see and follow, then other lights begin to dim and finally go out in some of these other countries. And Joe Biden, again, is saying that it's not my fault that the oil companies and oil refineries aren't doing what they should be doing here. The hell it's not. The hell it's not, because the very first thing you did when you got in office was cancel the Keystone Pipeline. And also, of course, immediately put a stop to oil and drilling on certain federal lands and leases that are available. Then he said, all right, well, we'll let you go back to drilling. But then the Interior Department or somebody came to him and said, hey, we got a lot of environmentalists that are not too happy about this. And we're never going to get away from coal and fossil fuel if you continue to let them go back in and drill. So he yanks it again. The gas and oil companies, they want to drill, baby, drill, because that's how they do make their money. They've got capital investment tied up on rigs that are idle right now and factories that are not producing because there's nothing coming in. That's not the way they've been running their business. That's not the way they want to run their business. They want everything humming. They want oil and gas coming in and oil and gas and final products coming out of those factories. And keep in mind, anywhere from 20 to 30% of a barrel of oil is actually used for gasoline. The rest of it goes for so many products you have around you that you use on a constant basis. And, of course, we don't hear the green pie in the sky people talking about, well, what are you going to do about replacing those items? If you don't have oil and gas production to create those, what are you going to do? Now, there's been a big noise made lately of that. Look what's happened at Martha's Vineyard. That former President Obama is putting propane tanks in. Now, for those who live in the rural areas, many of them rely upon propane. They don't have a gas line coming to their house. They may or may not have electric actually coming to the house. They do a lot of heating, running, and are running farm equipment or vehicles off propane. And maybe the entire house in some cases. Propane is another one of those fossil fuels. It's just a different name. Like diesel is, again, another fossil fuel. It's different than gasoline. You find out if you put the wrong mixture in your tank. That's why the nozzles are designed in such a way that you cannot put a diesel pump into your car tank. It will block it. I'm sure some are finding ways to get around it, and they end up paying a big, big mechanical bill, or maybe have to scrap the car. Stuart Varney of Fox Business News was watching some of this play out today about the Fed chairman in front of the congressional committee doing his best to kind of say, we're doing this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little dent, a little seltzer in your pants, a new dance, whatever. But the bottom line is, you got him, and they got Joe Biden doing his thing. I want you to hear some of the remarks from Stuart Varney, because I think he does a very great job of summarizing what's happening.
It's a big day for inflation fighting. There's a two-pronged attack underway. Fed Chair Powell grilled on Capitol Hill. He's raising interest rates and cutting money printing. President Biden is grilling oil company executives. He's demanding price cuts for oil and gas. Well, with 8% inflation for consumers and 10% for business costs, clearly something must be done. But don't expect a quick return to the good old days. It takes a long time to wring inflation out of the economy. There's a lot of pain. Voters don't like it. Investors really don't like it. President Biden may score a few points in the short term. Gas is down a couple of cents. And beating up oil companies may be popular in some quarters. But inflation began on his watch, and some of it is his fault. Jay Powell, well, he came late to the inflation fighting game. Some of it is his fault, too.
Yeah, that's right. Some of it his fault, too. But in D.C., nobody wants to play honest and say, I accept the blame. I'm to blame. I made a wrong decision, but I will work to correct it. It's as simple as that. It's what you teach your kids. You got your hand caught in the cookie jar and you're trying to tell me you're not taking cookies? You're lying to me. Of course, if you have a sibling and if their cookie's missing out of the cookie jar and they don't actually catch you with your hand in, you can say, I didn't do it. Tommy did it. So the Fed chair and all he's trying to do, and I got to tell you, that's a difficult job at best. But it was better under Trump. Everything was better under Trump. I don't care if you didn't like his tweets. I didn't like a lot of them. I called him out for several things he did he should not have done. But if you watch some of the testimony out of the January 6th hearing, and even some Republicans and Trump supposed supporters and members of the White House, they're treating him like he was a capo of a mafiosa gang. Now, I know that phrase itself might upset a lot of my Italian listeners. You don't want to be compared to Trump. Maybe that's it. But that maybe you're thinking the mafia has higher standards than Trump did. That's fine. I'm not trying to defend Trump on anything at this point in that sense of what's going on January 6th. I just want you to recognize it for what it is. All they are trying to do is to keep your mind off of your energy costs, your food costs. What are you going to do? All the stuff you're piling up on your credit card to keep things humming until maybe things turn around. Maybe you're working 2-3 jobs. Others out there, they, well, I don't need to work. I'll do it when I want to, what I want. And so then we've got an additional supply chain because nobody's going to drive the trucks. But in this first of 2 days of testimony to Congress, Fed Chair Powell states, we understand the hardship caused by rising prices. Really? Well, then you get Biden coming up with this idea. Maybe we'll have a gas rebate card that everybody can use. Well, who's going to end up paying for the rebate? Taxpayers. Maybe we'll have a gas tax holiday on federal taxes on your gasoline. What's that, 16, 13 cents? And now trying to encourage states, maybe you should also at the same time have a tax vacation on gasoline. Steve Forbes, obviously a very smart economic mind, head of the CEO of Forbes magazine and paper and all the financial groups he heads up and serves on boards, he was asked, what do you think about this gas tax holiday that Biden is proposing?
Anything would help. The American people need some kind of relief, though. Unfortunately, the administration, and Art's right on this, has more than raised the price of a gallon of gasoline, probably $1.50, $2, just by really harming production here in the United States. It's astonishing that he's now going to go to Saudi Arabia and he's going to learn that OPEC does not have that much spare capacity. So by killing that pipeline, the Keystone pipeline, early in his administration, first day, deprived us of 800,000 barrels of oil from Canada, a friendly country, to the United States. They've done everything possible and continuing to do everything possible to get in the way of improving refinery capacity, building new refineries, permitting a leasing on federal lands, everything that would help the situation. They're doing the opposite. Rhetoric one thing, actions quite another.
Yeah. They're not walking the talk. They expect you to. They expect you to walk the talk they give you. Just like getting a vaccine, you have to have it. You have to have it. And then it proves that it's not effective, not as effective. And I'm not being anti-vaxxer. I'm just pointing out the facts. But I will vary from my subject about the inflation and everything for a moment since I stepped into that issue. I am extremely concerned about them now saying we've got a vax approved for children at age 5 and below. I remind you again, and this is for the parents to decide with their doctor. Of course, a child is going to be subjected to whatever is decided. But I'll remind you again, this is still an experimental. It's been approved for because of an experimental need at this time. They don't have stats to show how it's going to affect a boy or a girl 5 years old now when they get into their childbearing years or child-producing years, do they? No, they don't have anything like that. We're on the cusp of waiting for a Dobbs v. Mississippi case, which involves Roe v. Wade, and corporate media is getting ready. Stand by, please.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We're having a little phone problem here at this end, apparently trying to get our line to dial out. Why, I don't know, but we've got some of our best people working on it. See, that's always a good way to explain things, right? We're aware of the problem, and we have some of our best people working on it. And we do have some good people, but for some reason, we can't seem to get the line to dial out. We're working on it. They've been doing construction in the area, and I just hope the telephone company, I'm not going to blame the telephone company, but I hope somebody didn't cut a cable somewhere. We'll find out. We're waiting to establish communications with Hans Bonkowski, and we're getting him on the line now. And I will remind you again that no one seems to know for sure when the Roe v. Wade decision will be coming down, and that is something I need to discuss with Hans, but I also want to get into the dirty tricks the Clinton campaign played. Hans, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Well, tell me this, first of all, what do you understand on the ruling of the Dobbs case, which would affect Roe v. Wade across the land? What's your understanding of when we might see it? Some are saying that could come tomorrow or Thursday. I thought they didn't issue rulings on Thursday, that it would be maybe Monday. Where do we stand on rulings, I guess, to begin with?
The Supreme Court has put out a release saying they're going to issue orders, decisions tomorrow, Thursday, and they're going to do it on Friday. Now, they haven't scheduled any other decision release days, but they've got still something like more than a dozen cases. I think it's 15 or 16 cases. So it's possible they could get all these cases out tomorrow or Friday. But remember, next week is actually the final week of the Supreme Court's term. So if they don't release all the decisions, they could still do it next week, too. But we still don't know if it'll come out tomorrow, Friday, or next week.
All right. Now, that's kind of where I was, too. Now, a couple more questions along that line. Isn't it likely they've already decided, taken the vote, and it's finalized, ready to go? And would Justice Roberts be holding it back, waiting for I don't know, maybe to make sure there are better preparations for protection of the judges and justices, are just for working with the feds or somebody to make sure we have law and order across the land if it goes the way predicted by the leaked draft?
Yeah, by now I'm sure that it is all final changes have been made and it's ready for release. I suspect they want to wait until the very last day that they can release it because, you know, Larry, you know what happens at the end of the Supreme Court term? The justices all leave town.
Right.
You know, they all go off on vacation.
Right.
They go teaching classes, you know, sometimes in other places in Europe and elsewhere. I don't think they want to be in town.
Yeah.
And the decision is released and all heck breaks loose in D.C., from the, frankly, the pro-abortion people, I'm afraid are going to get violent.
Well, you know, to that extent, very quickly, those members of the January 6th committee that are overseeing it, they're upset that folks are protesting in front of the homes of those who might be testifying. But I've yet to hear a single Democrat complain it's against the federal law to protest in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes, much less trying to intimidate them.
No, that's exactly right. And for folks who think, a law like that's a First Amendment violation, no. Because what the law says is you're not supposed to protest at the homes of judges, prosecutors, and witnesses. And obviously, you can't allow that to happen because if that's happening in an ongoing case, the only intent of that is to try to intimidate and coerce judges, prosecutors, and witnesses. And that's why this ought to be stopped. And it is almost criminal that Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States, is refusing to enforce that law. I mean, heck, we had a guy arrested close to the home of Brett Kavanaugh who
right.
wanted to assassinate him.
All right, so I'm looking at a piece that you originally, I understand you wrote originally at and again, we're listening to Hans von Spakovsky, a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. I think you originally wrote this for another publication. I had it here and I don't now have it. But it basically was talking about dirty tricks campaigns. And as you started talking about how June 17 marked the 50th anniversary of the night D.C. Boy, it seems that long ago. June 17, the 50th anniversary when D.C. police arrested the five men breaking into Watergate and jumped forward for that 50 years to 2016 when Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump and compare those dirty tricks.
Well, you know, somebody, I was asked to do a piece about this. Have things gotten any better since then? And no, I think they've gotten worse. And in fact, the dirty tricks have just gotten more sophisticated because remember, the five burglars who got arrested at the Watergate, well, what were they doing? Well, they had been paid by the reelect Nixon campaign, G. Gordon Liddy, to break into the headquarters of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, with the intent of, one, bugging their phones and stealing documents to see if they could find any kind of scandalous material to use against the Democratic presidential candidate at the time, who was George McGovern. They got caught. They were never successful with any of that. They went to jail. Not only did they go to jail, the five burglars, but folks in the White House who tried to cover it up also went to jail. Compare that to 2016.
And Nixon had to resign.
Yeah, right. And compare it to 2016 when what did the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign do? They used their campaign lawyers, an opposition research firm, and all their friends in the press to orchestrate a smear campaign against Donald Trump, the opposition candidate, and they concocted a hoax about his supposed collusion with the Russian government.
And they had the FBI and the Justice Department.
Yes. They had the Justice Department also involved. They even got, remember, the Watergate burglars wanted to bug the telephones at the DNC.
Yeah.
And the Clinton folks and their lawyers got this internet entrepreneur and these Georgia Tech researchers who had a cybersecurity contract with the federal government to do what? To scoop up the internet data communications of Donald Trump at his campaign headquarters, at his apartment in New York, and even from the White House after he became president. And
you point out in your article that the sophistication of what Hillary Clinton and her group were doing made Gordon Liddy look like an amateur. Well, I fully agree. That couldn't shoot straight, the gang couldn't shoot straight.
No, that's exactly right. And look, they've all gotten away with it. You know, not a single one of the individuals involved in this, certainly not in the Hillary campaign or their lawyers, none of them have gone to jail. And while it might not have changed the 2016 election outcome, it did totally hamper the Trump administration for most of its presidency. You know, they were the subject not only of electronic spying by the FBI, but that special counsel investigation, like I said, hampered his administration, hampered his aide, you know, because they were being deposed and questioned, and everyone assumed that, oh, yeah, there had been collusion with the Russian government, all of which turned out to be a complete and total lie. So, like I said, I think things have gotten worse. I think they've gotten more sophisticated. And the big thing was, remember, Richard Nixon didn't have federal law enforcement, the FBI,
right,
helping him target a political opposition candidate. Here, the Clinton campaign actually weaponized the FBI to go after the opposition presidential candidate, which makes it even worse.
In the last 30 seconds, I'm looking at the closing line of your article that you said that the dirty tricks of our last presidential campaign had done precisely, and you're talking about, I assume, the Clinton campaign, that Gerald Ford had feared, raising ugly passions, polarizing the electorate, and damaging credibility of our institution. 20 seconds.
Yep, that's what Gerald Ford feared.
Yeah.
That's what Hillary Clinton and her people did.
Well, again, we thank you. And when the ruling comes down, considering the Roe v. Wade law of the land, I'd like to have you back on to discuss where we go from here with it and how it breaks out with the states. Like to do that again.
Happy.
All right. Thank
happy
you,
to
sir.
Do it.
Thank you, sir. Hans von Spakovsky, the constitutional expert at the Heritage Foundation. Glad we finally got him online. By the way, there's a piece that appeared today in the New York Times talking about, you know, this court is already showing so many signs of being, well, let's say being religious, or at least allowing religion to be part of the world again. New York Times doesn't like it. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town & Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town & Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the New York Times, my morning slap in the face. Good morning, Larry. Thank you very much. I ask for it every day, so they send it to me. And they were talking about a ruling that indicates how much the court has swayed more to favoring religious views. In fact, it asked the question, how did we get here? How did the court end up with such a robust pro-religion majority? Said it's a story of selection and succession, pointing out that over the past few decades, the rise of the religious right has made religious freedom a political priority for Republicans. It should be a political priority for all Americans. Now, I'm not saying we do away with separation of church and state. But the problem is we've had a squeaky little few make noise about how things should be, and they fall and they try to put it under the guise of separation of church and state when it's really just a runaround play. But again, they point out that Republican-appointed justices have a better track record of timing their retirements, so a Republican president can name their successor. Remember how Obama was trying to get Ruth Bader Ginsburg to, well, you kind of step aside early so I can appoint someone? And she didn't do it. She was going to hang on because she was sure Hillary's going to win, and then Hillary would be able to appoint her successor. That didn't work out, did it? And I'm looking at a piece they're quoting in here by, which Epstein is this? There's so many mentioned in here, I can't find exactly which one it is, but they're talking about that some of the ruling is that they're seeing now were pretty pro-religion even before the Trump administration. Now we're going to see accelerate. And they're referring to yesterday's ruling striking down a Maine law, a state of Maine law, that blocked taxpayer dollars from funding religious school tuition because at that time parents were being told, you can't get any federal money for it. Oh, Lee Epstein, a law professor at Wash University in St. Louis, as a matter of fact, had uncovered a trend for a forthcoming Supreme Court review study that she wrote that says the win rate for religious groups is even higher than it used to be. The pre-religion outcomes of religious cases by the justice era during the Earl Warren case years, 46% went to the side of religion, 51% for Berger, 58% during Winquist when he was chief justice, 83% for John Roberts. Interesting. It doesn't say anything other than the facts at that point. You have to look at each case. I got an email I want to share with you because I'd made a remark yesterday that the January 6th thing is a pony, dog and pony show. I don't really care about the January 6th riot any more than the election fraud that went on and however it did or did not affect the election. I mean, when I said that, if I said it as callously and carelessly as I did just then, I varied from what my normal tone is, that yes, it matters. But let's don't rehash all of it. Let's focus on the coming. That I have always said. Focus on what's ahead of us. But to his credit, Tom, one of our listeners, wrote, he said, "Dear Larry, I admire and respect you." That's all he said. He added more. But he goes on to say, "I thought you were fair and you're honest in your reporting. I still do. But I do disagree that we need to just move on from the election fraud of 2020. I believe we need to find out exactly how much fraud occurred, in what areas it was accomplished, such as ballot harvesting with drop boxes, electronic machine fraud, Dominion machines, illegal changes in state election laws by state courts or by state elected officials and bureaucrats." He said, "If we don't do this thorough investigation, we will be subject to this fraud again, and I, for one, do not want that to happen." I agree with you, Tom. I do agree with you. First of all, I appreciate the praise. I appreciate you taking time to make your statement. I do still have a concern about those. I guess my bigger concern, and maybe I didn't make it as clear as I should have, let's just don't get so focused on claiming that something was stolen or done wrong last time that we don't pay attention this time. I'm all with you in that we do need to learn from the past, and we need to learn and focus on what we've got in front of us. That is exactly what Georgia did. And they went back and cleaned up their voting rolls, and then they were being accused of, well, you're making, or as Joe Biden said, Jim Crow too. No, Georgia election laws are freer and easier than in his home state of Delaware. But Joe will never admit to that, will he? But Tom did go on to say, as more than enough evidence support probable cause. Heck, back in December 2020, there were at least 5,000 sworn affidavits in five swing states of widespread fraud in the counting, tabulating, collecting of ballots. Sincerely, Tom. And Tom's right about that. There were those. I just don't think that we can spend all of our time and effort dealing with that only to say, well, now we did prove it. See, we proved it. I don't think he's going that direction either. His main concern, I think, is same as mine and yours. We want good, free, fair elections in this country. Your candidate, my candidate, might not win, but I want it fair. My kids, when they're playing on a baseball team, I want them to win, but I want it to be fair. If there's a wrong call that gives them a victory, I don't like it. They shouldn't like it either. They know they won by a faulty decision. Coming up, the stories in horror out of Uvalde, Texas.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.